Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
That the Lord wants me to talk about hope tonight. Why? Because it's the expectation of future good. There's a lot of things God's sown to us, God's sown in us. David said, "So why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God." You know, there's times in our lives we get down, we get discouraged. Maybe we find out our kids are doing something they shouldn't be doing, and it hits us. It just hits our spirit because we want to see them saved, but we got a hope in God who's able to raise the dead. Our hope's in Him. Our hope is in Him. And hope simply means the expectation of future good. The Bible says this: "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of good, not of evil, to give you an expected end." We've got a hope that we have an expected end in Christ Jesus. He came and became our hope. When you look at Jesus on the cross, you're looking at hope. You're looking at hope, my brother and sister. That's the hope that we have. Our sins, all of our flaws, all of our failures hung on that tree in Jesus Christ. And that's the hope that we have, that He came, bled, and died for us, that we might have hope in our body and in our life. We've got to hope in God, not in ourselves, but in God. We've got a hope in Jesus. We've got a hope in the Father. Turn with me, please, to the book of Psalms. Chapter 31, verse. Actually, y'all go to Psalms 33. I'll read Psalms 31:24. "Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Are we hoping in the Lord like we're supposed to be? Are we hoping in Him? What are we hoping for? Are we hoping for that new car, that new house, that $1 million lottery or big windfall that we're expecting, that we would like to see? What are we hoping for? That new pergo wood floor? What are we hoping for? We've got to be hoping in God, my brother and sister. That's the only thing that's going to give us joy. That's the only thing that's going to encourage us and strengthen us. That's the only thing that's going to give us hope, is to hope in Jesus Christ. That is the only thing, is hope. We've got to hope in Him. Psalms 33:18 says this: "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy." I hope in His mercy every day I live, my brother and sister. Thank God His mercies are renewed every morning to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. "Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee." We've got a hope in the Lord. We've got a hope in Him. We've got to hope in Him. He is our hope, the Bible says. He is our hope. We've got a hope in Him. There's a lot of things going on in this world. There's famines. There's diseases. There's pestilences. But our hope's in Him. Our hope is this: that He's coming again. That's our hope. And that's what we need to be looking to and holding fastly to. We need to begin to stir our things and beware lest at any time we let some things slip that God's give us. We've got to let that confidence be in us that God put in us. He did not choose God, but He chose us while we were yet sinners. Christ chose and came and drew us by His Spirit that we might come to salvation. We can have hope tonight, my brother and sister. It doesn't matter what you're going through, you can have hope. That maybe it's that lost loved one that you're praying for. You can have hope tonight that God hears your prayers. The prayers of a righteous man and woman availeth much, the Scripture says. We can have hope tonight. We can have hope tonight. Turn with me, please, to Psalms 42. I don't know how long we're going to go in this, but we've got a hope in God. Our hope comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from any other source, but it comes from the Lord. Verse 5. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" How many have ever been cast down? "Why art thou disquieted within me?" How many have always said, "I'm not going to say nothing to nobody about Jesus, God, or anything else. I'm just going to shut my mouth. I'm not even going to pray. So why are you disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." You know, we get down, we get discouraged, but it's an amazing thing. When we begin to praise the Lord, our countenance, the air, the aroma around us begins to change because God's Spirit comes and just melts things on us. They're like burning flash like He did over Samson. The Spirit of God just melts things that are on us. We have hope in Him tonight, my brother and sister. My hope's in Him. It's not in me. Please don't look to me, but look to God. Look to Jesus. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. That's the hope that we have, is that Jesus can flow in and through a human body. As long as that human body, that person, that man or woman looks to Jesus and follows Jesus. Not just follows the crowd, but follows Jesus. We can have hope tonight that Jesus is coming again. No matter what some other people have to say, Jesus is coming again. We can have hope tonight. He's coming again very, very, very soon. Jesus is coming again. Turn with me, please, to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Everybody wants to talk about blessing, but nobody wants to talk about the Lord being the blessing. They always want to talk about money, things, cars, houses, lands, but it's the Lord that's actually the blessing. It's the Lord that's actually the blessing. When did we change the gospel of Jesus Christ? When did we change the hope of our calling? When did we change the hope of His salvation? When did we change the message? When did we change in hope in material things rather than spiritual things? When did we change the message of this great salvation from spiritual to earthly things? No, it's no wonder we have so many people bound today by depression and bound by prescription drugs, because we're not hoping in our God. We're not doing what David did and said, soul, why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. There's a lot of things we can look to in Jesus. We can hope in God. There's a lot of things we need to look to Jesus for, and it's hope. He'll give you hope. I don't care how down you can be. He will come and encourage you. Paul said, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. When's the last time you prayed in the Holy Ghost? When's the last time you begin to give way to the Spirit of God and just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost and let the Spirit... Don't worry about praying with your understanding. Just let God be God and pray in the Holy Ghost. When did we change salvation and hope for money and cars and houses and lands? Those things will come, but they're not the most important. God knows what we have need of. We're not even hoping in Him. We're hoping that we get the new car. We're hoping that we get the financial blessing. But we're not hoping in God. We're hoping we get that new job and God will give you a new job. God will bless you with a new job. But our first ambition is to hope in God. It's not ironic that God gave me this message, and we're all talking about God's going to move mightily, and the Bible says hope deferred maketh the heart sick. See, when we don't see it, our heart gets sick. It gets discouraged. But when we begin to see God move and we begin to see souls come in, that hope that's in us is going to come alive, my brother and sister. It's going to come alive and it's going to begin to flourish. It's going to begin to flourish. It's going to begin to move, and we're going to begin to hope for the things that we hoped and talked about years ago. Sherry and Doug are going to hope for that Sunday school department. There are things that God has placed in us that we need to hope for again. I tell you what, I've never been through it till I began to do this on Sunday night when my pastor was gone. All hell has broken loose, but I thank God I can hope in God. Amen. Y'all think it's easy? I'm telling you what, some of y'all understand. Brother George, you understand what it's like to get up here Sunday after Sunday and begin to give God praise. It's not an easy thing. The enemy doesn't like us. He wants to bombard us. He wants to attack us. But as the Bible says, He's under our feet. Amen. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. That's the hope that we have. That's the hope that we have. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Listen to me. This is our hope. Yes, we can lose gas. Yes, There's going to be an economical, catastrophic hemisphere hit America very, very soon. You mark my words. It's going to hit our economics like nothing you've ever seen before. Yes, these things are going to happen. It's prophesied in Matthew 24. All these things are going to begin to unfold and begin to see intensities, and those things are going to begin to intensify that Jesus spoke about in Matthew 25. Earthquakes and tsunamis, they're going to get worse and worse. Why? Because we're living in a world of sin. Why? Because we're living in a day in America where they want to kick God out of the school. They want to kick God's the Ten Commandments out of the courthouse, but yet they want the covering of God. We can't have it both ways. But we can hope in God that if God's people will get on their face and humble their selves and seek His face, and we turn from our wicked ways, because there's ways in each and every one of us that are wicked. Yeah. God knows them, you know them, and your spouse knows them, and your kids know them. There's ways in all of us that are wicked, and God knows them, and God's going to search them out and put His finger on them, because He loves us. Not to condemn us or to hurt us, but because He loves us. He that has this hope, 1 John says 3:3, purifies himself. See, we've got a hope in God, and there's a purification that's going to come. Jesus isn't coming back for a church that's spotted by the flesh. He's coming back for a church that's glorious, that's washed their robes in with the blood of Jesus, and they're white. Oh, my brother and sister, Jesus is coming back for that church that's following Him closely. Isn't following the crowd. The Bible says, straight is the gate and narrow is the way which lead to life, and few be there that find it. Isn't it an amazing thing? We've got the biggest churches in the world today, but how many are actually going to heaven? Right. Right. Is Jesus in the churches, or are they like the Laodicean church and He's knocking on the door? Right. We want the businessman instead of the Spirit of God. We can't have it both ways. We either have God and His Spirit and not the businessman. God will meet your needs, but you're either going to have God and His Spirit moving or the businessman. Take your pick. I don't care where this tape goes. It can go wherever God wants to send it. We're living in a day where we need to hope in God. Look at what Hurricane Katrina did. You can't go preaching that money gospel down there in the streets of New Orleans in Louisiana. They're looking for something different. They're looking for something that's tangible. They're looking for something that's real. They're looking for hope. And that hope is Jesus, my brother and sister. It is plainly Jesus. It's so simple we miss it. It's so simple we forget about it. We're so busy wanting to be blessed. We're so busy wanting the adoration of our peers and our friends that we miss Jesus. We miss our hope. We can't even be blessed unless we have hope in the Lord. Right. We can be planted by the waters, but we've got to hope in the Lord. Amen. But why isn't this preached? God's going to bless His people. Don't think I'm against blessing because I'm driving a 2005 Toyota Sienna. I am not against blessing. That's not the real blessing. No. Cars, money, fame is not the real blessing. Yeah. This is the real blessings. Sins forgiven. That's the blessing, my brother and sister. That's the blessing. That's the gospel in the nutshell, is sins forgiven. When did we trade it? When did we trade it for money? When did we trade it for gold? When did we trade it for new cars and new homes? It's simply our sins forgiven. There's no price for that. Jesus said, "What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Nothing. Right. You can't buy salvation. No. You can't buy your way out of hell. You can't buy your way into heaven. There's no good works that you can do to get your way into heaven. It's all in Jesus, hanging on the cross with His blood dripping down. It's in the blood of Jesus Christ. But we forget to hope in God. We get busy. We don't get to read our Bibles like we would all love to. We don't get to get in prayer like we would all like to. So therefore our hope begins to wane. And the Bible talks about in the last days Satan's trying to wear down the saints. If he wears us down and we're too tired to read our Bible, we're not going to be hoping in our God. God wants us to hope in Him again, my brother and sister. There's dreams and visions that God's placed in each and every one of you, and God wants you to hope in Him to bring those to pass. Only He can bring them to pass. But you've got to line up with Him, and you've got to consecrate yourself, and you've got to bow to His will for this to happen. Salvation is a condition. Forgiveness is a condition. It hasn't changed just because we have a new and better covenant. Thank God for grace. Thank God we're not under the law. Thank God that Jesus came to fulfill the law. Thank God that His grace is sufficient. But there's still a life that we need to live. We've got to consecrate ourselves in these last days. And I know it's hard. I know it's hard, but His grace is sufficient. But God wants His people to become consecrated again. And I'm not talking about not wear earrings, not wear jewelry. That didn't establish a hill of beans. That didn't move God's Spirit any more than us having rings and jewelry. But it's a consecration of the heart. Man looks on the outward, but God looks on the heart. And I believe I'm in the midst of brothers and sisters that have a heart to serve the Lord, that have a heart to hope in God. And if you hear the Spirit of God through me, get a righteous indignation against something. It's not against you. It's against false doctrine. It's against false teaching. Understand the difference. Please understand the difference. Jesus got righteous, went in the temple, kicked up over money changers and braided a whip. Jesus wants His house to be a house of prayer, not a concert hall. But we can have hope. Hey, God has, there's places for all of that. They want to have a concert, they can go to the amphitheater over here. But God's house is to be a house of prayer. It's a no wonder nobody came to the youth group when I was leading youth, because I've got to do it God's way. And I don't make apologies for holding a standard whatsoever. People don't want the true gospel. There are those that do, and there are those that don't. Because the true gospel cuts the flesh away. It cuts the flesh away. Why? Because our flesh cannot glory in His presence. Only His glory can manifest. Only His glory. And that's where God wants to take us, to His glory shining through us. Us living a life where the hope and the glory of God shining through us to this lost and dying world. Turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 4. Now we're going to get into the New Testament. Romans 4, verse 18. I'm going to start in 17. You hear this scripture quoted a lot from a lot of faith teachers. It can be used for that. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him who believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things not which be as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope. Who against hope, listen to me, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. He believed in hope. Who against hope believed in hope. Why? Because Sarah's womb was barren, there at an age, but he believed. He hoped. He hoped in the promise because God gave him a promise. And God's given us some promises. And God's spoken to our hearts about some things, about our involvement in this ministry, and some things of our involvement with our relatives and our family members. All we've got to do is believe and hope that God is going to save them in His due time. It's God that saves. We pray the prayer, but it's still Jesus that draws. And there's going to come a day where they're going to have that opportunity where they can be drawn by the Spirit of God. And our job is to pray earnestly that when that time comes, they surrender to that call and they bow to that call. We've got to hope in God. We've got to hope in His grace. We've got to hope in His love. We've got to have that hope that Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. We need to go back to Sunday school and learn that again. Because it's so simple, but it's so true. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. The Bible tells me in John 3:16 that for God so loved George, Patty, Willie, Kim, Doug, Sherry, Heather, Sandy, Dennis. For God so loved all of you that He gave His only begotten Son. This I know. This I know, Jesus loves me. I can hope in Him. I can hope in Him. I can hope in this man that bled and died for me, that He's that all things that pertain to life and godliness, He's going to perform and He's going to fulfill. But it's in Him. It's hope in Him. It's not hope in the power of God in my life. It's hope in Him. God wants the glory. God wants the glory. Romans chapter 8. Verse 24 and 25. For we are saved by hope. Listen to this. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? See, that pertains to us right now. We want to see God move and we want to see souls come in. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We've got to be patient. It's coming, my brother and sister. It's coming. We've got to hope in God that everything God's spoken to us through the gifts of the Spirit, through His Word, to our own hearts, that He's going to bring it to pass. Not us. There's nothing we can do. Apart from Christ, the Scripture says, we can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. But in Him, we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Strengthens you and me. It's got to be in Him. That's the core in Christ. That's the core of everything, is to be in Him. To be in Him. To be in Christ. Why? Because in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We've got to be in Him, my brother and sister. Not in the Bally Fitnesses, but in Christ. And I'm just using that as an example. Hope, the expectation of future good. You've got to believe that God loves you. You've got to believe that He's got a plan for you. You've got to believe that He's going to work all things together for good because you love Him and you're the called according to His purpose. You've got to hope and you've got to believe that God loves you with that kind of love, with an everlasting love. You've got to hope that what His Word says about you is true. And only you can do that. And if you're not hoping, God wants you to begin to hope. God wants you to begin to trust Him. God wants you to begin to rely on His love, because His love will never fail you. Your friends will fail you. Your family will fail you. But Jesus will never fail you. Natural expectation of hope, Acts 27:20. Sinful expectation, Acts 24:26. Impossible, Romans 4:18. Spiritual assurance. Hope of spiritual assurance. We're talking about hope. 2 Corinthians 1:7. There's a living hope in 1 Peter 1:3. A blessed hope of Titus 2:13. Good hope of 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Better hope, Hebrews 7:19. Sure and steadfast hope in Hebrews 6:19. Hope is one of the great virtues. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Listen to my brother and sister. We've got a hope in God. We've got to hope that everything He's promised us is going to come to pass. The devil's going to try to lie to us and say, it's never going to happen, it's never going to happen. Remember, he is the father of lies. I know it's hard to remember sometimes when you're down and you're alone and you're bombarded, but he still is the father of lies. Purity, 1 John 3:3. Patience, Romans 8:25. Courage. Hope can give us courage to believe God. Romans 5, 4 and 5. Joy. Hope will give us joy, my brother and sister. Romans 12, 12. Salvation. Romans 8, 23. Assurance. Hebrews 6, 18 and 19. Stability. Colossians 1, 23. Grounds of hope can be God's word, Psalms 119, 42 to 81, Romans 15, 4. God's promises, Acts 26, 6 and 7, Titus 1 and 2. Doesn't matter what you're going through, you've got a hope in God. Objects of hope, God, Psalm 39, 7. Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, 19. Salvation, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 5. Resurrection, Acts 23, 6. Eternal life, Titus 1, 2. Glory, Romans 5, 2. Christ's return, which is the ultimate hope we need to be looking for in these last days. Romans 8, 22 to 25. Listen, my brother and sister, we've got a hope in God who's able to raise the dead. He's our hope. The Bible says He's our hope. We've got a hope in Him. Hopelessness. There are many times we walk around hopeless, and we've got to stop it. We've got to stop walking around like we have hopelessness. Oh, because I don't have the new door on my house. We walk around without hope. Because I don't have my house fixed the way I want it, we walk around with no hope. Or because my husband didn't give me $30 because I didn't get to go to get my nails done, we walk around without hope. I know I'm hitting home, but that's okay. I don't have my motorcycle yet. Sometimes I walk around without hope. I get myself too, so. Hopelessness simply means without hope. Listen to this. Condition of the wicked. Ephesians 2:12. We should never act as if we don't have hope. I know there are times in our lives that we do. But we should always have hope because Christ loves us. Gave His Son for us. God wants us to hope in Him. I know you've been praying for that husband, that son, that daughter, that relative that really gets on your nerves. But God's hope is this, that He's going to save him in His due time. Their unchangeable condition, Luke 16, 23 to 31. The unchangeable condition is this, is to be without God is to be without hope. How many here have God? Then we have hope, my brother and sister. We have hope. We're not as those, we don't sorrow as those who have no hope. When we die, God forbid, if I was to pass away tomorrow, my wife would be upset. But guess what? Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. She would be upset. But we have hope that we would see one another again. On that day, if any one of you go before me, I'm going to be upset, but I'm not going to sorrow as others. Because you're going to glory, and I'm going to be a little bit jealous because you're going to go see the Father before me. That's the kind of God that we serve. He said these words, I go to prepare a place for you. That's the hope that we need to have. Isn't it an amazing thing that you don't hear too much of hope? You hear a lot about money and material things. And Jesus said these very words. Don't lay up treasure where the moth and the rust can corrupt, where thieves can come and steal, but lay your treasure up in heaven, where the moth can't come, where thieves can't steal it. And yet, here we are in these 21st century, we're not following the words of our master. We're following the words of, we're following false teachings. God wants us blessed, but that's not the primary message that we should be hearing in the last days. That should be on the back burner. God forbid I was to take one of my unsaved loved ones to somebody's church on a Wednesday night, and all I heard was, God wants to bless you. God wants to give you money. I would have to get up and leave. Why? Because I know that they would be unsaved. Not to be rude, but if an unsaved person walks in here, I pray God would change our message and focus on them. That's the hope that we have, is to let God's Spirit move and to save that person. Because that's the greatest object, is souls. And we can have hope that God is going to save. We can have hope that God is going to heal. We can have hope that God is going to move by His Spirit, because He tells us in the book of Joel and in the book of Acts that in the last days He's going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. My brother and sister, I want you to have hope. Hope, hope, hope. I want you to hope in your God like you've never hoped in Him before. I want you to look to your God like you've never looked to Him before in these last days. Because He's going to be your anchor. He's going to be the rock of your salvation. He's going to be your peace. He's going to be your shield. He's going to be your buckler. He needs to be your everything. Because the times are getting dark. Growing darker and darker. Some say, and I like to argue this with them, some say that some of the events that we've seen in America aren't judgment of God. I beg to differ. We can look in the book of Jeremiah when God began to speak through the prophet Jeremiah and they did not want to listen. They wanted to hear what the false teachers had to say, crying peace, peace when there is no peace. And we're seeing that in this very day. We're talking about blessing when we should be talking about repentance. We don't need a national day of prayer. We need a national day of repentance. We need the president to repent, and we need the Congress to repent, the Supreme Court to repent, and Christians to repent, and Americans and Washington, D.C., all of us to repent before God Almighty for allowing one woman to kick prayer out of school. Where was the church in the 60s? Where was the church in the 60s? My brother and sister, that just, when I think of that, one woman made a difference. Then that gives me hope that we can make a difference in the body of Christ. If one sinner can make a difference, then we've got more with us than they had with them. Then we can have hope that God is going to move in these last days. God is going to move by a sovereign spirit. The next time your kids get sick, pray for them and hope and believe that God will heal them. I'm not against doctors. I just want us to begin to exercise our senses, exercise our anointings, so when the real giants begin to come against us, we can slay them with no problem. But we don't want to slay the little lions. We don't want to serve. We don't want to make bread and cheese for our brethren. And another thing, we need to respect the governmentship in the body of Christ, in the church. Many of you know I've been coming here my whole life, and I really don't believe that I would be doing this if I hadn't shown myself faithful. Matter of fact, the Bible warns against putting faithfulness in an unfaithful man. We got people that come here that want to begin to speak, they want to minister, but they don't want to come regularly. And it's imperative that we come regularly. And if they're working, I understand that. Because there are times I have to work. But there are people that want to be used, and they just want to come and be seen and be heard. And see, there's a time where you need to sit and you need to bloom where you're planted. You need to bloom and you need to blossom and you need to respect the governmentship. I respected when Pauline ministered. I was there to serve, and many of you were there to serve. And when we had Wednesday nights, I didn't get upset. I didn't get bitter. I went on Wednesday nights and I played drums and I served, knowing in my heart that one day I would be doing this. It's a tough thing. I understand what Jesus said. My hour has not yet come, but yet He turned the water into wine. I understand that. Maybe you don't understand that, but I understand exactly what Jesus was going through in that moment, in that time. To know that God's given you a mandate and a mission to do, and you can't do it yet because the fullness of time hasn't come for you to do it, because it's all in God's timing. Don't get ahead of God, and please don't get behind God. Hope in God that He loves you with all your flaws, with all your failures. Yes, when you don't pick up your Bible for 1 week, He still loves you. Yes, when you don't go pray, He still loves you. Thank you for the amen. Boy, do y'all know God loves you or not? I didn't hear one amen when I said that. God loves you. You need to understand that. God loves you. No matter what, it don't matter. I'll use Patty and George as an example. It don't matter if Patty slapped George in the face last night. He still loves them. He still loves them. And I pray that didn't happen. But I'm glad we're family. But we've got a hope in God, my brother and sister. Would you please stand? I'm not going to continue because I don't feel to. We've got a hope in God. Please, if you haven't been hoping, begin to hope again. I don't know what you're hoping for, but God wants you to begin to hope again like you've never. It must be for this message is for somebody, if not everybody. There are things God's given you that you need to begin to hope for. your unsaved father, your mother, your unsaved brother, your unsaved daughter, your unsaved son, your whatever the case may be, you need to begin to hope in God again, that God can save them. It doesn't matter how black it looks, how dark it may seem, God's the light bearer. God's the light breaker, the darkness destroyer. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He is a supernatural provider. He is a supernatural God. Tell you what, the Lord sure knows how to speak to His people. God spoke to me when I was at home today and said, I want you to go so and so, and look in here and there. And I went and looked in there, and I was pretty shocked, pretty disappointed and discouraged. But God is faithful, and I have hope that if I do my part and Heather does her part, God will take care of that situation. Well, what is it, Brother Sean? That's none of your bizwax. But I just happened to be studying, and I felt the Spirit of the Lord speak to me, so I went such and such a place and looked in such and such, under such and such, and found such and such. And when I get home, that such and such person is going to be quite amazed. And I'm not doing this to embarrass anybody. But God, and this isn't the first time that God spoke to me. There was another time when my wife's cousin came to our house and was staying with us and put it on an ungodly radio station. And hey, everybody's different. But as for me and my house, I want my house consecrated for the Lord. So I come home from work and I said, honey, something's different in my house. What is it? And the Lord spoke to me, and I confront him and says, you know what you do at home in your house is y'all's business, but this is my house, and I want to have it as a temple for the Lord. I want God's Spirit to be able to come in my home. And it was at the apartments and on Lake Patience Road, and God moved, and God graciously moved and graciously saved and graciously touched that person's life because I made a stand. Sometimes you need to make a stand with your relatives. Yes, they're going to hate you. Yes, they're going to persecute you. But sometimes you need to make a stand. Our family gets upset with us because when it comes to something on Sundays, we don't go. Heather and I don't go. They get upset with us, but they have birthday parties and they give us invitations on Sunday. And I'm like, look, guys, y'all know we're in church. Can't go to this birthday party on Sunday. Because Sunday is supposed to be the Lord's day. And until we begin to reverence God like we're supposed to, that includes all of us in this room under the sound of my voice right now. This is for you. I've matured enough in the Lord to know that we have personal convictions. But once God's Word sheds light on our personal conviction, we've got to throw our personal conviction out the window. That's not our opinion, it's God's Word. And we've got to let God's Word convict us and show us the truth. And I'm not afraid to say that, I'm not ashamed to say that, because I've learned that this is going to stand. It doesn't matter what I think, it doesn't matter what Doug thinks. Let God be true and every man a liar, the Scripture says. We've got to let God be true, and we need to respect His house. We need to respect this place, and we need to respect this day. There are things that are going to come up, I understand. But we shouldn't make it an everyday thing to have parties on Sunday. We should be thinking about the goodness of God and in the land of the living. We should be worshiping because of His grace and mercy that touches us every morning. And we can hope in God. And please, I'm not trying to browbeat anybody. I'm just telling you what I believe the Spirit of the Lord just spoke in my heart to say. Douglas, do you have something for us? Because we're going to worship and get out of here. If you got to go, you're more than welcome to go. God, Father, I thank You for my brethren. If there's anybody here that needs prayer, we'll be more than happy to pray with you. Father, I pray that, Father, You would touch my brethren, that You would be with them this week, that, Father God, that they would begin to hope in You again, and the things, the secret things that You've placed on the inside of them, they would begin to hope for, the visions, the dreams, Father God, that You had placed in them, Father God, instilled in them, Father God, they would begin to hope in You again, Father God, and we will give You the praise, Father, the honor and all the glory, in Jesus' name, amen and amen.